Off the Ball, GAA.
Somebody's going to win and somebody unfortunately is not going to win. And we had a lot of days against Armagh. They're very, very special.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. Giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
/off the ball. We're saying good morning to Luke Lachlan. Luke, how are you?
Well, lads, good morning. How's things?
What is life in the Talton Cup like for you so far?
Got off to a good start at the weekend. Good to get our first win in a long time in Championship. So can you get that monkey off the back? So I'm looking forward to the weekend now.
Is it actually your first win since the last Talton Cup win?
Yeah. Yes, and I think off the top of my head, I'd say 8 or 9 1-point losses, like, you know, so you get sick of moral victories, regardless of who you're playing. It was a nice change of the dressing room. Like, everyone was in good form instead of, you know, oh, yous are so close or this or that. So it was relief more so than anything.
Can you put your finger on what the difference is between the team that, I mean, obviously you score more than the opposition, so it's a stupid question, but like, over those last couple of years, in some of those games you played really well, in some of those games you just didn't show up for even a half of it, and that was enough to prevent you from winning. And we're talking Leinster Championship and Sam Maguire.
I definitely think bench is a big part of it. Like, you know, when you're in a smaller county, sometimes you might only have 16 or 17 boys at that level, whereas the bigger teams are bringing on lads that are all-stars, or, you know, are like top players, and that can change a game, like, you know, or someone that's coming in and he's better than what's after starting. Probably the confidence as well to just go and finish the game. I think we've been in over the years, like, and we've lost a lot of players, but we were in positions where we could have, you know, held on to the ball for a while, maybe a bit more experience, and we could have seen it out, whereas we panicked probably. And the big teams knew that they'd get their chance, and they got it, and that's what probably happened.
117 from yourself, Luke, against Antrim, including 10 points off 5 shots. How much are you loving this 40-meter arc and the 2-pointer? Like, were you excited when it was brought in, or has it just transpired that way because it's been so successful for you?
I never thought I'd be rewarded for being able to boot the ball. You know, only kind of goalies are able to kick it that far. I've always been able to kick the ball, like, off the ground. Like, you know, I'd see, say, Began or Morgan in big games kicking the ball, and I'd be, obviously, before training, I can do that. But to be able to, someone let you in a match do it is a completely different story. I said on an interview there a couple of weeks ago that I was actually going to play in hurling this year. Like, last year, football had, I think, one of the games, like, 8 touches, no shots, and with, like, taken off after a certain amount of time or getting brought on. And it was definitely affecting my mental health, because you're giving so much to something and you feel like you're going home so frustrated all the time. And, like, I'm the type of person, I can't hide my emotions. So I'm angry or upset, I'm angry or upset. If I'm happy or in good form, you'll see it straight up. So my partner at the time, like, she was getting the brunt of it, the people around me, my work was being affected. And just, I don't know, just went with the football, and it's been great, apart from the losing. Like, all the big scores are great, but, like, that's my job as free taker, is to score realistically. But, like, I trade that in a heartbeat to have won a couple of them games to stay in Division 2, like, no problem. Like, there's obviously been big games before Westmeath where Hess has scored lots and we've won or we've lost, and you see how he's dealt with it. Like, he'd be the exact same. So it's literally, you trade it for the wins. It's nice, like, you know, but I wouldn't look too much into it. It was just one of them days, like, you know, just probably never happen again. Like, and when you get a bit older, you realise, look, next week it'll be someone else, and just try and focus on the next game.
This week on Diverted.
Sí, well, you know, cuando tienes tiempo en Argentina, es esencial para comer media luna todos los tiempos.
I tell the story of how my hitchhiking disaster
led me to the family of Alexis McAllister.
Para nosotros también es una, un gran orgullo que mi hermano haya jugado con Maradona y Alexis, su hijo, haya jugado con Messi, que son los dos más grandes exponentes de, del fútbol mundial que dio la Argentina.
I also meet Dickie McAllister at the Buenos Aires Hurling Club. And we discover the national sport of Argentina, pato.
¿Anduviste en otro lado filmando pato ya o no?
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are turning our attention to rugby, and I'm delighted to say we have Stuart Lancaster with us on the line this morning. Stuart, good morning to you. How are you?
Good, yeah. Long time.
How are you keeping?
Nothing. Been a while.
Yeah. How are you keeping?
Yeah, good. Good, good, good. Back in Leeds, obviously... French adventure over, which I'm sure we'll discuss. So back in Leeds and went for the next opportunity.
You are doing a series of podcasts and video interviews with Fergal O'Rourke. And this week you talked about the Australian situation and it ended up getting aggregated across the rugby media. So I think some people might have seen some headlines around that. You came across as a little bit bruised by the whole experience. Is that fair?
Yeah. Just not. You know, I get the shifting sands of interviews processes, but I guess, and I don't normally, as you know, speak up publicly about what I think all the time. You know, generally I sort of keep my counsel. But I've done this. I'd set up this podcast with Fergal when I went to France because I thought it was a good opportunity to share the experience of going as a leader to a foreign country or start a new job and how do you go about it. Fergal's such a good like guy to speak to and he's so experienced himself. So it was actually, we did six last year. So it wasn't like, I just did it to put my point across because of the Australia thing. It was part of a series that we were doing anyway. So the first six took me right the way through the first year in France. And the sixth one was right at the end of pre-season this year. So obviously this pre-season came and went. The season started. We won a couple, lost a couple. And very quickly in the first half of this season, the pressure came on. And obviously the owner changed direction. I left. And I've been sat for a while thinking, I can't do a podcast series and not finish it. Do you know what I mean? Like I had to finish it. And I was trying to find the right moment to do it. And I'd spoken to Fergal about it. And this Australia thing was going on at the same time. So anyway, that came to a conclusion. So I said to Fergal, listen, I think we need to sort of put the French experience to bed, talk about the Australia thing. And then obviously people can then make their own positions. So it wasn't a knee jerk reaction. Do you know what I mean? It was a
sure
part of a series. And, as part of the conversation with Fergal, obviously the bit that got picked up was the bit about the Australia thing, but it was a wider talk about leadership, about organisations, about how you interrelate to boards, how you interrelate to owners, how when you're interviewing for a job, what it feels like from my point of view, what the expectations as a candidate and what I feel that organisations should deliver. So that was the point of the conversation.
Hiya, Stuart. I wonder, you know, you felt maybe a bit burnt out and disillusioned after you left Racing. And I do wonder, is there a world where it actually has, in a, maybe a perverse way, worked out for the best that the Australia job didn't happen if you still have those feelings? I know the process was very frustrating and disheartening itself because the radio silence was deafening. But yeah. Do you think that this will actually stand to you that the Australia job didn't work out if those feelings still remain?
No, because I think I felt after Racing, you know, it was a really hard job. Like, I mean, I know you speak to Rog and Rog will testify how hard it is to be an overseas head coach in France, and he's had, you know, incredible success. So I felt a bit burnt out, but, you know, very quickly I felt energised because of the ability to go and coach in the Southern Hemisphere. And, you know, I genuinely felt I could make a difference. And also, you know, that I was led to believe, you know, when they first approached me that, you know, this is just a matter of like going through the process. And it was the shift in sands bit that, so now I think I'd have been fine if I'd have gone to Australia, and let's say I was, I don't know, starting in pre-Lions series, coaching against the Lions, how exciting would that have been? You know, obviously I know a lot of the coaches and the players, and going to live in Sydney and everything else that came with it. So I don't think every job that's out there would have had the same appeal as that one. So no, I think I'd have been fine. But in hindsight, the way in which it played out, maybe, yeah, it's for the best, because Wayne Bennett, the famous rugby league coach, said to me once, wherever you want to go next, make sure you 100% want to go and they 100% want you to come. And that changed during the course of the interview process, which is a 3-month process. So at the end, yeah, it's probably the right thing for both parties. So life goes on.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.